Matters with Paul Rosen.
Our diets, our Western diets in America are just really, you just don't realize how poor they really are.
What would you say to others who would like to feel better?
Sometimes you need to find the instruction. That's where the testing and everything comes in, because without that knowledge, there's no way I could have got to the point where I'm at today.
Straight Talk About Health.
And then I start preaching and telling them what I've been doing. And this guy named Paul Rosen has changed my life.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
By the way, the information contained in this program is not approved by the FDA, nor intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any medical condition or disease as defined by Western medicine. However, skilled practitioners of many disciplines have found nutrition response testing to be a highly reliable, supportive technology for assessing the health and fitness of the body's functional system.
Paul, you saw the movie Wonder Woman earlier this summer, did you not? Did you go to that movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
I recommend it. Good movie. Wonder Woman, the whole story behind her is based on Greek and Roman mythology, which I love. I used to love that stuff when I was a kid. Wonder Woman in particular is based on the Greek legend of Artemis, the goddess of the forest, who's also an archer. Her Roman equivalent is Diana. I love all those stories, that mythology. One of the greatest myths of our present day is the myth of fat. And why fat may be killing us, or maybe how fat is making us healthier. We're going to address that this morning, among other topics, on Health Matters.
That was very slick.
It was very slick, wasn't it? We're getting slicker as we go along. Also, we're going to check in with our friend, Frontier Pete, momentarily. Health Master, the Health Matters superhero, is here. He has a brand new adventure. And Paul, what other topics are we addressing on the program?
Oh, one of my favorites. It's the heart. And heart disease, it remains the leading cause of death after 80 years, leaving experts wringing their hands for a solution. The problem is the solution is staring them in the face, and they're too invested in the wrong theory to see it. And here's a hint, dietary cholesterol isn't evil. Plus, the surprise best foods for your heart.
I'll be interested to hear that, because I have an idea that some of the foods I think may be good for my heart are not, and vice versa. Some of those I think may be harmful may be doing us some good. So we'll find out about that. Also, if you'd like to participate in the show, we'd love to have you. 503-225-0860. Give us a call now or anytime during the program and talk to Paul about your health issue. Maybe get on the road to solutions. 503-225-0860. And of course, if you call and go on the air with Paul, you may get a copy of one of his books. You can get The Great Health Heist or The Missing Piece.
Also, I am asking folks to come join me for my next free health seminar. I'll be presenting Sugar Cravings, Eliminate Brain Fog, Fatigue, and Pain at Chuck's Produce in Cascade Park on Mill Plain Boulevard. You guessed it, in Vancouver, Wednesday, August 23rd. At 6:30 p.m. That's this coming. Parking is free. Seating is limited. So we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office, 360-750-7375, and save yourself a seat.
Tell me if I'm wrong, Paul. Heart disease remains the number one killer in the U.S. Is that right?
Apparently.
Okay, so maybe as we continue our discussion about that, we can find out how we can avoid that sad eventual fate. First, though, how about on a lighter note, we check in with our friend Frontier Pete.
Sounds good.
Here we go.
A moment with me, Frontier Pete, all natural woodsman. Stopping for a few supplies at Billy Bob's Country General Store. Morning, Billy Bob.
Morning, Pete. Hey, have I told you about our new rewards program?
No, you haven't.
It's really cool, Pete.
Harold here loves it. Did you bring your punch card, Harold?
Yes, I did.
All right, here's your punch. 8 more punches, and you get a free 8-ounce coffee.
Oh, well, can't wait, Billy Bob.
I think I'll pass on the rewards program, fellas.
You might reconsider, Pete.
You should try the loyalty program.
Yep. If you agree to never shop anywhere else, I won't punch you.
What if I want to shop somewhere else?
That wouldn't be very loyal, would it, Harold?
Nope.
I don't think I'll go for the loyalty program at Billy Bob's General Store.
Oh.
It sounds like it could be hazardous.
It might be. Then again, you know, perhaps his punches are light.
I don't know about that. It doesn't sound healthy to me. We are all about good health, and we are addressing in particular how to make our hearts good and healthy. So, Paul, what can we do? What's this about heart disease that's actually part of the mythology of fat?
Well, let's just dive in, start from the beginning.
Okay.
All right. So we did mention earlier that heart disease still remains the leading cause of death. Close to 1 million deaths per year due to a heart attack or heart incident. And 61.8 million Americans currently have some form of cardiovascular disease. That's rising, actually. And over $350 billion are spent a year dealing with it. And 25 to 30% of adults suffer from high blood pressure. Bypass surgeries for arterial blockages occur up to 365,000 times at hundreds of thousands of dollars per procedure. Stents are rising astronomically, $30,000 per operation.
Before you continue, Paul, I heard an interview recently with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, NBA great, also now an author. He's written a couple of books. He said he had a quadruple bypass surgery a couple of years ago. Interestingly, his heart is fine. It's just that his arteries were full of plaque.
So you say.
That's what he said.
Yeah, well, it's not.
Okay.
There's no way that his heart is fine and his arterial system isn't.
Well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I guess you had it wrong there.
Well, the bottom line is one's connected to the other. And yeah, maybe his heart is still pumping and maybe there's no obvious something that he can feel. But I guarantee if I hooked him up to my heart sound recorder, which is, and I'll talk a little bit more about, an amazing new device that we now have at our disposal. Found out exactly what his nutritional deficiencies are with respect to the heart, I'll bet you we would find anomalies.
That's interesting. He said, too, that his arteries were essentially a 5-star hotel for plaque, and he may have had a genetic predisposition for that.
Everything is a genetic predisposition. We have to dispel this. Saying something, not you personally, of course, but saying or thinking something like, I got this disease because of a predetermined or a preconditioned genetic sort of map is obvious. Everything is essentially programmed in with respect to your genes. The moment you're conceived in the womb, everything that you experience with respect to your genetic manifestations. So that is not the cause. The cause is what turns genes on and off. That's the cause. And it turns out that one of the biggest triggers to turn genes on and off is, you guessed it, what you put in your mouth.
Okay, and I think everybody is all about taking control on this show. We want to discuss ways in which we can, no matter our genetic predispositions, ways we can make our health better.
So if you knew on the front side that your genes contain the possibility of manifesting heart disease or contain the possibility of manifesting diabetes or high blood pressure or the common, degenerative Alzheimer's or whatnot, right? The only question is, would you take responsibility for ensuring that, as best you could, that you would do things that would prevent these manifestations to occur?
Well, that's what we want to do. Again, we want to take responsibility. We want to take control.
The scariest thing for me, and I did a little post on my Facebook this past week, the scariest thing for me is to realize that Big Pharma could potentially be, in my future. That is to say that I would have to live on medications in the last quarter of my life. Most people don't realize that the human body, as a bioorganism, essentially is on the downslope from the age of 25 or so. The downslope.
At that point,
the downslope.
Young lives, we already start.
Already reached your peak. Reached your peak. We're talking about, you know, bioorganism, the body, the flesh and bone structure.
No, on
that
the
you
surface,
occupy.
On the surface, Paul, that sounds hopeless. Like, well, I'm 25 for now, and I'm going to decline. I may as well have as many Snickers bars as I want.
Well, I mean, speaking of hopeless, you're going to die too.
True.
So let's back up a bit. Right? It's not hopeless. It's just reality. So the question is if you want to enjoy a high quality of life, I didn't say the quality of your life is going to go to crap. I said that the pinnacle, right, thinking that you're going to live forever, a notion, right, begins to wane in the mid-20s for most folks.
So here's the point I think you're getting to, Paul. Past that age, we need to take greater responsibility for ourselves because we want to enjoy a healthy quality of life. In order to do that, we have to keep our bodies in shape. And so after a particular age, say 25, it just takes more work on our part to make sure that we have that healthy state.
If you wanted to live in a floodplain and you also wanted to build a house there and you didn't take into account the possibility that your area might flood, right? You would think that person was, well, to be kind, short-sighted.
So that's a good analogy. It's just a matter of being prepared, right? And making sure you're ready, your body is ready to take on whatever life throws at it, right?
The life expectancy has been growing over the last few decades. And there are many people living into their 80s, 90s, and even some of them into their hundreds. Imagine you're 25 years old. You've reached the pinnacle, physical pinnacle of your life. Everything is, you know, incrementally downhill from that. You potentially could live another 70 to 80 years. Who wants that 70 to 80 years to be, you know, this kind of, you know, slow swirling down the drain kind of experience? Nobody. Nobody. So the question remains then, what can you do as an individual to extend the highest quality of life going forward? And I will tell you, it's not living side by side with Big Pharma.
Here's something too, Paul. On the Greek island of Ikaria, I hope I have that pronounced correctly, Ikaria, apparently people routinely live into their hundreds. And nobody knows why. The New York Times covered this 5 years ago, and they think it may have everything to do with climate, of course, but also, in particular, diet. These people generally eat healthy, as a matter of course, and they do avoid a lot of our American processed foods.
Well, really, that's the key. When we say they eat generally healthy, what does that mean? I mean, I could go down the street and approach anybody, and they would say, well, yeah, I know, I eat generally healthy.
And they may have just finished a Big Mac, but
exactly
that's only
right.
Once a week.
So the bottom line is, wouldn't you like to know, remember I set this up now, so 70 to 80 years on the downslope, yet you want to maximize the quality of your life. Wouldn't you like to have a handy little roadmap? I mean, wouldn't you like to be able to have a strategy that would put you on that path to the highest quality of life that you can experience moving forward?
And not only that, to have that set out for you in a way that's individual for you, right?
That's what nutrition response testing and its approach is all about. It's all about the recognition that most people would want to have a high quality of life, but you have to pay a price for that. And one of them is probably the single biggest price that you have to pay is waking up and taking control. You actually have to forfeit some things, right? Maybe your bagels, maybe your chocolate chip cookies, maybe your ding dongs, right? In order to achieve anything like the highest quality of life going forward. So we have a saying in our office that goes something like, nothing could taste as good as I feel today. This is a conscious choice. This is all a conscious choice, right? And most people, and we've discussed this, most people have to be on the edge of total destruction before they decide to do something. And And this program is dedicated to inspiring people to, you know, not wait. However, if you do wait, know that there is hope out there.
Or you can give us a call right now at 503-225-0860. Again, 503-225-0860. You're on Health Matters. Go on the air with Paul, get a copy of one of his books, and most importantly, get some good ideas about how to get healthy.
So one of the myths, one of the unfortunate scientific diversions, and I'm being kind, I could say lies. Oh, okay, I'll say lies. Is that cholesterol is the cause of heart disease. And nothing could be further from the truth. It never was, it never will be the cause of heart disease. And secondly, animal fats are not evil. They're not evil. In fact, animal fats are essential for the healthy function of the brain, the heart, production of hormones. Anybody who's concerned about hormone imbalance and is not eating healthy animal fats is basically just, you know, wishing on a star.
So this is the mythology of fat we referenced earlier in the show, right?
This is the myths. These are the myths that have been repeated over and over and over, and they're totally incorrect. They're just not correct. They're just falsehoods.
Both those things are taken as a given. For example, if you have too much fat, it's bad for your heart. And certainly, we've all bought into the idea that cholesterol is going to kill us if we have too much of it.
You have to remember that animals store fat, and we are an animal, store fat as a reservoir of energy for use between meals or when food is scarce. Between meals and whenever food intake is restricted, right? Even if you fast, your body will essentially run on lard, your lard.
If you fast, is your body essentially eating itself then?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. And that is the saturated fats are about 43%, right? The heart, liver, and resting muscles together consume most of the energy used by the body. These tissues prefer fat for fuel. The heart prefers animal saturated fat for fuel.
So I think the assumption many of us make, apparently wrongly, is that cholesterol and fat are actually clogging up the heart, clogging up the arteries. However, from what you're saying, the heart is actually using those things for energy.
There is no way to keep your blood vessels completely clear of saturated fatty acids. Because it's essential for your body to operate normally, right? So history also fails to support the idea that saturated fats are responsible for soaring rates of cardiovascular disease, because facts show that in 1909, cardiovascular disease was rare in America. Rare. But by the year 2000, it affected over 60 million people.
So let me guess where you're going with that thought, maybe. Earlier, around 1909, and in earlier generations in the country, we had a more fat-saturated diet? Would that be fair to speculate?
There was, yes. Uh-huh. Right. And while total daily per capita fat consumption increased by about 33% between 1909 and 1999, saturated fat consumption remained constant. So what was the marked increase? The consumption of unsaturated vegetable oils and synthetic products like margarine.
Okay, so that makes sense. Is that consumer demand grew? That demand was actually created by food manufacturers who were using these products or using these ingredients in their products, right?
Consumers never demanded these products, ever. No consumer went out and said, I hate butter. I don't want to eat butter. This is a total business corporate push.
Fair enough. I think it's a matter of semantics, though. I think marketers create demand. They make us think we want things, whether we, you know, have really made that decision ourselves or not.
I don't think it's a matter of just, you know, nuance. I think it's actually a situation that was driven by people with, greed in mind, having no consciousness about the actual health and health costs, right? Because people are still clamoring. Do you see the response when Twinkies was going to go out of business? I mean, people just freaked out, right? It took the FDA decades to finally even make a statement, not necessarily outlaw, but just make a statement that trans fats were a major cause of cardiovascular disease.
And you're right about the Twinkies thing. I think nobody wanted to see those go away. Who was already a fan? I don't eat Twinkies myself, I'm happy to say. And it was a big Mexican conglomerate that actually came in and put Hostess back on his feet and made it possible for Twinkies to continue their devastating work.
Exactly right. To continue their devastating
throughout
work.
The country.
In America, during the past 100 years, animal fat intake has remained virtually constant. While consumption of processed, unsaturated vegetable oil products increased fourfold, parallel with the rates of major degenerative diseases like obesity, cancer, diabetes, and of course, heart disease. It's crazy, huh?
It is crazy.
I mean, so, you know, these myths that get created and perpetuated, we can say at this stage of the game, is largely due to the efforts of madmen. Marketing.
Well, but we have to take responsibility for ourselves. And I think my point is invalid. I think as consumers, we do buy into a lot of myths.
Totally.
We buy into a lot of pitches and things that we shouldn't be buying into. So at what point do we have to stand up and say, okay, I'm just not going to believe that anymore?
How about today?
Okay, that'd be a fine place to start.
How about finally recognizing, right, that all of the science proves, unless, of course, you're anti-science, and I really don't want to get into that discussion.
Yeah, it's a whole different discussion. However, but I think if you're listening to this program right now, you probably have an interest already in maintaining your health or improving your health. So maybe the first step to that is just recognizing that everything you're told in every commercial, every announcement, every billboard, every banner headline you see online, those things are not necessarily true. And in many cases, they're outright lies and have been for a long time.
So the body does not make polyunsaturated fatty acids. The two kinds that are essential, that is to say, they must be brought into from the outside. Right, we've got to eat them, we've got to consume them, are the omega-3s and the omega-6s. These must be obtained from foods. DHA is particularly important in the nervous system, nervous tissue, brain, and the eyes of higher mammals. Studies performed in the 1990s supported this finding and reported that the milk of vegetarian women contains only one-third the necessary DHA of omnivores, that is, people who eat all different kinds of things, including animal fats.
Here's an idea, too, Paul.
Hold on. This is the concern.
No. We have to finish up for just a moment here. If you want to be like the people of Ikeria and live to be 100, what you may have to do is just have a good cup of tea every night. More on that shortly here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. In the meantime, stay with us. We've got a lot more.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
There is hope out there.
And you're doing better.
I'm telling people there's an exact plan for you.
Wow.
And it was, I just could not believe it.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
This does relate to our conversation about heart health, Paul. On this island of Ikaria, Greek island, it's about 30 miles from the coast of Turkey, actually. They live, or the residents sometimes live to be over 100 years old. And one of the things they do, they have something called a mountain tea, which many of them drink every night. And this tea is made from local herbs and includes things such as dandelion leaves, believe it or not. Nobody really knows if this plays a part in making the longevity of the people on this island so long. But they think it may play a part because, in part, it provides antioxidants.
And they probably put a dollop of butter or lard in it, too.
According to the article I'm looking at from the New York Times, no, that's not the case. The stuff is made from herbs, as I said, and is generally considered very healthy. And they drink it every night, like we would drink, you know, coffee in the morning or throughout the day. They have their local tea.
So let's repeat this. There is no one thing for everybody. There's no one tea for everybody. There's no one food for everybody. There's no, ultimately, one diet for everybody. Everybody is unique and requires a refining of what it is they do. That's how you can reach the pinnacle of quality of life as you move through your life. That's the facts.
So
that's the way it is.
2 points to make. If you are generally healthy throughout your life and you maintain good habits, good on you. However, I don't think that's the case with most of us. At some time or the other, we're probably going to slide into bad dietary habits. However, that's not to say, is it, Paul, that you can fix that?
There's always the cynic out there that says, My grandmother lived to 95 years old, and she drank and smoked and just, you know, made a mess of it, yet she lived. Yeah, right.
That's not
okay.
Cynical. That's the most hopeful thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, right. What a waste of genetic material. Imagine what the life she could have led, right, without consuming all that crap.
You know, I think there's also an asterisk often to those stories. I'll hear that about some guy in his 90s who has vodka every night and smokes cigars every day, but there's usually something else going on in terms of his diet, and his consumption of those unhealthy things is often exaggerated.
Yeah, like lots of surgeons and lots of medications. That's how they got that way.
Right, the guy might be 90% stents by that time. You know, who knows?
Anyway, also want to remind folks to come join me for my next free health seminar. I'll be presenting Sugar Cravings, Eliminate Brain Fog, Fatigue, and Pain at Chuck's Produce in Cascade Park on Mill Plain Boulevard in Vancouver Wednesday, this coming August 23rd at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited, so we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office, 360-750-7375. And save yourself a seat.
360-750-7375. And as always, you're invited to join us right now on Health Matters at 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860.
So let's get back to the heart story. Studies performed in the 1990s supported the finding that the milk of vegetarian women contains only one-third the DHA. This is the essential polyunsaturated fats that the body does need in order to operate normally.
So to be clear here, by being vegetarians, they're depriving their bodies of nutrients?
Correct. This is a concern because DHA is necessary for growth and development of the brain and the eyes of the fetus. And then, of course, once delivered, the infant.
Well, that's horrible news. Yeah. I hope people, by denying themselves those nutrients, aren't harming their children.
Now, let's take a look at the quality of these polyunsaturated oils that manufacturers, that food industry pushes on the public. In the industrial processes used to extract vegetable oils, they're exposed to heat, light, and oxygen to produce peroxides. These give the oils a bad taste and smell. So they are bleached and deodorized before being put on the market, right? Or used to make synthetic fats like margarine and shortening.
So let's process that for a moment. Stuff we're eating has been bleached and deodorized before it ever even gets into our foods.
And also heated or chemically infected, right? Which, of course, not only introduces, rancid fats into our bodies, perhaps on a daily basis, right? But also, putting, you know, various types of chemicals in our system, right? And, of course, depriving the body of the essential fatty acids. And It destroys any of the vitamin content, the nutrient density that the oil may have contained in the first place.
If I got home and somebody said, "Hey, we have some pasta. Would you like me to heat that up for you?" I'd say, "Sure." If they also said, "Would you like me to bleach and deodorize it and add some sulfur?" I might hesitate.
Even if the oils were to survive industrial processing undamaged, right? They are typically packaged in clear bottles and stored in brightly lit groceries at room temperature. They are more or less rancid by the time someone takes them home. Then people at home usually store them at room temperature. Why not? It's what they do in stores.
Why is that not reflected?
And often use them for cooking.
Why is that not reflected in taste, I wonder?
Because they're chemically denuded, right? There's all they've been bleached and processed. There is, you know, a deodorizing agent, right? And usually the oils taste like nothing, or they might have a little bit of a bitter taste, and it's that bitter taste which should tell you that the oil is rancid.
So the deodorizer is for the obvious reason, but these are also preservatives.
Mm-hmm. If you want to see oil turn to plastic, brush a baking pan with, say, safflower oil. Bake it at 350 degrees Fahrenheit. You'll have trouble getting that glue off the pan even with a solvent. That's what you're putting in your body when you're consuming these vegetable oils.
And all these highly processed foods.
Now, somebody might say, well, what if it's organic? What if it's derived from organic and it's a dark bottle? Well, the same thing holds true. They are polyunsaturated, and saturated fats, 43%, are what the body uses, right, to maintain heart and brain and liver. So if you're stoking your body with a lot of vegetable oils, then you're depriving your body of the essential nutrients that it requires, right? Even if you get cold processed oils packaged in dark bottles and keep them refrigerated, as soon as you eat them, conditions are correct for converting them to the pesky peroxides. Remember, your innards are always hot, 98.6, and loaded with oxygen. What happens when peroxides get loose in your blood? Damage to arterial tissue and plaque. Unsaturated oils are a large part of the plaque that blocks coronary arteries.
You know, Paul, you've talked in the past about the thyroid being a center of our health. Are all these processed foods you're discussing necessarily bad for the heart in particular?
When you say all these processed foods, processed foods in general, yes.
Okay, so
yes, absolutely.
Especially over the course of time, I would guess.
Absolutely. The heart requires especially B vitamins, vitamin B1 and B4. And those are very, very fragile and are destroyed in the food processing and handling and cooking.
So let me understand. Some foods would have those vitamins in them as a matter of course.
Yes.
Nature is provided.
Yes.
But in the process of preparing these foods for market, that is taken out of the foods.
Yes. And what I see in my clinic is an epidemic of vitamin B deficiency for the heart. I mentioned in the first half hour of the show that I had in my clinic an extraordinary tool for evaluating the nutritional deficiency of the heart called the Heart Sound Recorder. It's relatively new, although the technology was actually invented in the mid-1930s by none other than the father of vitamin therapy in the United States, Royal Lee. And this particular tool allows us to take a live look in to see how the heart is actually functioning. The device we use is an accelerometer where we're measuring movement. And that creates a graph. And from that graph, I am able to determine the nutritional deficiencies or the conditions of how the body is or is not operating.
Is it like an X-ray of the heart?
No, it is not. It is not an X-ray. It is not an echocardiogram. It is not measuring the electrical conductivity. It is telling us, as it is giving us information about the rate, rhythm, and really importantly, tone of the heart and heart muscle itself.
Good to know. There are particular foods, by the way. There is good news here. Particular foods you can consume to make your heart better. More on that later in the show on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website at AccuNatural, that's acunatural.com. Click on the radio show page, follow the directions, and then join. In the meantime, Rod and I will be right back, so stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
And if you really think about it, what does medication do except treat the symptom?
Exactly.
Then once you eliminate that and you reach a different plateau, it's indescribable.
Straight Talk About Health with your host, Paul Rosen.
If you have arrhythmia, that doesn't mean you can't dance. It means you may have an irregular heartbeat. More on that momentarily here on Health Matters.
Oh, come on. Where is the...
That's not bad. That wasn't too bad. 503-203-225-0860 to speak directly to Paul Rosen at 503-225-0860. Love to have you on the show. Paul, if people want to meet you in person, when and where will that be happening next?
Come join me for my next free health seminar. I'll be presenting Sugar Cravings, Eliminate Brain Fog, Fatigue, and Pain at Chuck's Produce in Cascade Park on Mill Plain Boulevard in Vancouver this coming Wednesday, August 23rd at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited, so we ask that you please RSVP, call my office, and save yourself a seat. Save your friend a seat as well, 360-750-7375. Learn how you can restore your health and ultimately maintain the highest quality of life that you can possibly experience.
There you go. 360-750-7375 to set yourself up with that. Arrhythmia, Paul, is actually irregular heartbeat, right?
And that
it is. Means, now, can your heart beat too fast or too slow?
It can. That's the rate. And that's something that's revealed using this heart sound recorder. But the interesting thing is that... people begin to experience arrhythmias. If your heart should be in your chest and you shouldn't know it's there. Now, if you run, if you do a lot of cardiovascular exercise, yeah, you'll feel it pump. But other than that, normal would be that, you know, you have no idea that heart is pumping in your chest. If you feel it, if you hear it while you're sitting down, normal, laying down, resting, then you are having some sort of irregular heart rhythm. And that is 98% fixable using nutrition. End of story.
That's what I understand.
End of story.
If you have some kind of irregular heartbeat, you do not necessarily require medical treatment. Is that correct?
Two things are going on. Number one, your thyroid isn't happy. And number two, your heart isn't happy. And both of those things are fixable using nutrition. End of story.
And also maybe changing your habits. It's true, is it not, that if you take stimulants or, you know, just drink a lot of coffee all day long, you may be speeding up your heart. And in fact, I know people who do that. They say, well, I can't drink all that coffee. I can feel it in my heart.
Some people do experience that. Yeah, they do experience a rapidity of the heart, a raising of the heart rate, as it were.
Or according to Harvard University, diet pills or even something as simple as cough syrup can cause an irregular heartbeat.
All of which is totally unnecessary for their purpose. I mean, whatever it is they're trying to do, you can do it yourself without jeopardizing the quality of your life or the condition of your organs and glands, period. End of story. Dennis found that out. He was experiencing lots of things, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and he discovered how to restore his health. Listen to him. So thank you so much for calling. And I just wanted to
echo what you just got finished saying and how it's impacted me. I actually ran into you at a convention center, and I wanted to talk to you about my child who has autism.
Uh-huh.
And it took about I almost at a glance I could tell that you saw some concerns with me. You did a quick evaluation, which, you know, I don't know if it's you have that specific term that you use, but I just call it Chinese reflexology. I mean, there's something that you can tell. It's tried and true in the ancients. It's something exciting that you've adapted for today, And you invited me in. I took a couple of those test, and then you're able to do an evaluation. I have type 2 diabetes, which I had first when I was 44. I just turned 49.
Right.
And of course I had high cholesterol. And you did a you prescribed the appropriate supplements, not a, like you said, not a cookie cutter solution. And my blood sugar dropped from, it ran 170 to 190, and it was down below 110 within a week.
Right. Now, the other thing that I did too, of course, was to recommend a specific diet for you. And I asked you in the beginning, I said, were you willing to stop eating all grains, all fruit, and all sugar for...
I thought that was ruthless. But you're absolutely right. The question is, what do I want? I mean, is it just because I would like a strawberry waffle, or is it more important to live a happy and healthy life for my family? And of course, you know, the diet was something that you just take ownership of, and that's what I did. And I took ownership of the diet, and I took ownership of the regimen, and sure enough, you know, if it works,
it works.
Value, doesn't it?
Right. Well, I mean, if you could just let's go back to the beginning a little bit. And I remember when we met, and one of the things that I saw was your genuine concern about your son, and I know I've worked with so many parents with children, and you know, one of the things that parents often don't think about is that in order to really support and give to their family, that they need to be well. And I think that was something you recognized. I mean, that was something you hooked onto, right?
Absolutely.
And because of that, and you also had, you clearly had a desire not to get caught up in the pharmaceutical, you know, world.
Well, let's face it. I mean, I don't want to make myself sound out to be some kind of hero. I just want to see something resolve. I don't have all the answers. And if I've been trying something for 4 years, and like you said, if you're not getting anywhere, then why do I think doing the same thing to continue is going to get a different result?
Right. Why if you keep doing the same thing expecting a different result? That's what we call insanity. At least, you know, it's a pretty good definition. But you also preferred, you know, you also recognized, I think, when we talked, and you know, let me know if I'm not correct here. But I mean, when you do drugs, you are going to experience side effects. Whether those side effects occur, you know, immediately after taking them, or whether they occur.
I just want to qualify, I don't do drugs, but the pharmaceuticals that were
really
prescribed by a physician.
Yeah, that, of course, we're not.
So you don't want to do drugs if you already have an issue going on, Paul. Or maybe the medication you're taking isn't quite the right thing. More on that next hour. Plus, surprising healthy foods for your heart and a brand new adventure of the Health Matters superhero, Health Master. All coming up on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen. You're listening to Health Matters, broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the next hour of Health Matters.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
Our diets, our Western diets in America are just really, you just don't realize how poor they really are.
What would you say to others who would like to feel better?
Sometimes you need to find the instruction. That's where the testing and everything comes in, because without that knowledge, there's no way I could have got to the point where I'm at today.
Straight talk about health.
And then I start preaching and telling them what I've been doing. And this guy named Paul Rosen has changed my life.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
By the way, the information contained in this program is not approved by the FDA, nor intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any medical condition or dis-ease as defined by Western medicine. However, skilled practitioners of many disciplines have found nutrition response testing to be a highly reliable supportive technology for assessing the health and fitness of the body's functional system.
We were talking superheroes last hour. We referenced Wonder Woman, Paul. On the break, we were talking about Superman v. Batman, that movie that was out, what, 2 years ago now, mm-hmm. a year ago, whatever it was. And the fact that at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, Superman dies. The bad guy puts a spear right through his heart. Now, we all know as moviegoers that Superman's not really dead. He's going to come back. So a spear through the heart made of kryptonite even is not going to kill Superman. But you know, Paul, what might kill Superman? If he failed to get the proper saturated fats he needs for
no,
his heart.
Please, no!
High cholesterol!
No.
Yeah, so even the Man of Steel has to observe proper dietary habits. In fact, our superhero, Healthmaster, has his own problems to deal with. We'll address those momentarily in his latest adventure. But first, Paul, what else do we have going on the program this hour?
Well, we've been talking heart and heart disease, and we're going to continue to do that because it's a major topic. Gee, we could go all day. We're going to talk a little bit more about the cholesterol myth. I'm going to mention some of the best foods for the heart as well at some point, and return to Dennis, who was relating his adventure back to good health as a diabetic and one who had high blood pressure, etc.
And some of these foods which are good for our hearts may surprise you. Give us a call right now, by the way. We'd like you to participate in the show. 503-225-0860. Any health issue you'd like to talk about is fair game, and it's always a better show when you participate. 503-225-0860. And if you go on the air with Paul, you can get a copy of one of his books. He has The Great Health Heist and The Missing Piece. Also, Paul, if folks want to meet you, when and where can they do that?
I'll be presenting Sugar Cravings, Eliminate Brain Fog, Fatigue, and Pain at Chuck's Produce in Cascade Park on Mill Plain Boulevard in Vancouver. Wednesday, August 23rd, that's this coming, at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited, so we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office and save yourself a seat.
360-750-7375. 360-750-7375. How to keep your heart beating into many decades. That's what we're talking about today, and we're going to get to more of that momentarily. But first, Paul, I think it's about time we checked out the latest adventure from the Health Matters superhero, Healthmaster. Are you ready?
Go for it.
It's exciting. Here we go.
The adventures of Healthmaster, champion of the nutritious.
Healthmaster, have you arrived at the perimeter?
Affirmative, Mr. Librarian. There's a 10-foot barbed wire fence around Sun King's compound.
We have less than 2 minutes, or it's all over.
Patch me through to Helicopter Parent.
Helicopter Parent?
It's Healthmaster. Do you have the aerial recon on Sun King's compound?
No, I'm helping my son put on his pants.
Your son is healthy and 25 years old.
We have to be careful. They're brand new pants.
Hi, Healthmaster.
Hi, Justin.
Do you like Levi's?
Yes, Justin. I like Levi's.
90 seconds.
Actually, you have less than that, Healthmaster.
Damn it. Sun King has spotted me.
You fools failed to pay the $1 trillion ransom. Now, in seconds, my giant moon drone will block the sun forever and extinguish all life on Earth.
Helicopter parents, I need the precise location of the building that houses the drone controls.
Just a second. I'm tasting Justin's food to make sure it's not too hot.
What?
His gums are sensitive.
I hate burning my gums, Healthmaster.
Once I blot out the sun, all life will freeze forever. Dadgummit. Get it? Because of the kid's gums and because he's with his dad?
Healthmaster, I've remotely accessed the cameras on Helicopter Parent's helicopter. The building housing the drone controls is 30 meters to your southeast.
Helicopter Parent, aim your cruise missiles at the coordinates provided by Mr. Librarian.
In a minute. Those missiles are way too loud. Justin needs earplugs.
The drone's already starting to block the sun. It's getting dark. I'm scared.
Get under your Transformers blanket, Justin.
Help me crawl there, Dad.
Justin, will you please grow a pair?
Maybe. Can I get those at Walmart?
Diverting flight path to Walmart.
It's getting darker. We have only seconds, Healthmaster.
Forget it, Healthmaster. You'll never make it in time.
I'm taking aim with my voice-activated laser cannon, Mr. Librarian.
You can't destroy the whole building with that.
If this works, I won't need to.
People of Earth, you will all now spend eternity in freezing hell!
Incredible, Healthmaster.
Sun King went completely mad when his plan failed.
Is his mind totally gone?
Hey, I need a TV in this cell to watch the Kardashians! They're the best!
Yes, obviously. Totally insane.
Hi, Healthmaster.
Hi, Justin.
Thanks for saving the world again.
Sorry I had to shoot down your helicopter, helicopter parent.
It was the only way to land the cruise missiles on the controls to the moon drone.
Taking the drone out of commission and unblocking the sun.
It's okay, Healthmaster.
Because Justin and I were wrapped in his titanium Transformers blanket, we were completely unharmed. Almost.
I see you suffered a few minor burns, Justin.
No worries. My gums are fine.
Healthmaster!
Healthmaster!
No helicopters were harmed during production of this episode.
Wow. That was exciting, Paul. What do you think?
What a guy.
Yep, that Healthmaster.
I mean, that Healthmaster is beyond the beyond, as they say.
Not letting the bad guy block out the sun and extinguish all life on Earth. Thank you, Healthmaster. 503-225-0860 to speak directly to Paul. Got a call from Kathleen, Paul. She didn't want to go on the air, but she does have a question about heartburn.
Yes.
How can you treat heartburn without taking antacids?
Oh, it's very simple.
How?
Very simple. First thing is you have to find out what your nutritional deficiencies and barriers to healing are. The barriers to healing are environmental factors like foods. So number one, did you say Jennifer?
Kathleen.
Kathleen.
And also, back up a minute, Paul, before you get to the cure. Heartburn is just what it sounds like, right? Your chest hurts.
Feel like, yeah, you feel a burning sensation or an acid sensation in your chest.
Now,
or your throat.
We are operating on the premise that just about our health, everything related to our health is directly related to our diets. But is it the foods that we partake in particular that cause heartburn, or are there other factors?
There are totally other factors. The barriers to healing include food sensitivities, chemicals, metals, ongoing immune challenges. That's why, Kathleen, it's very difficult to say, do this, and then your heartburn will be handled.
I think
because
many of us...
everybody's heartburn is unique. Now,
okay.
There are some general similarities. One of them is that most chronic cases of heartburn are due to the body's inability to produce enough hydrochloric acid. Yes, you heard me right. Inability to produce enough. The heartburn is caused by the food stuffs in the stomach that ferment because there's not enough hydrochloric acid to digest them fully. So they stay in the stomach.
That fermentation is causing your heart to hurt?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with heart.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with the heart.
All right.
It's just called heartburn because it's next to the heart. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
Da,
I thought.
Da, da, da.
See, we've learned something valuable today.
All right. So, yeah, heartburn is just a saying.
So let me ask you, Paul, if somebody is, you know, eating something that's spicy or hot and they get heartburn and they complain about that, are they aggravating an already existing condition or is it that particular food, do you think, that's causing the immediate effect that they're feeling?
Both.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Could be either or, too, right?
Not if it's chronic. I mean, I think that Kathleen's asking, you know, someone who's experiencing heartburn continuously.
Right, and right. She obviously wants something besides antacids.
So the first thing you have to do, right, is you need to find out what that environmental impingement is. What's going on there? That has to be addressed. That's addressing the root cause of why your digestive system isn't functioning normally.
By that, Paul, environmental impingement, do you mean the food that they've consumed?
Food sensitivities, chemicals, metals, ongoing immune challenges. Those are the environmental factors in general. They are impinging, obstructing the body's ability to perform normally.
So it may be a little more complicated simply than not eating whatever that food stuff is that causes you heartburn.
The notion that there is one solution for everybody is simply fiction. It's a fiction, right? And you can try this for that, that for this, and some people will go, oh my gosh, that's a miracle, it's magical, I'm cured. And then a whole bunch of other people will, it'll say, well, that didn't work. And the reason is because it's not uniquely designed for the individual.
And in terms of the antacids, is that another case of treating the symptoms, not the cause?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, antacids are just a disaster overall. I mean, now studies come out that say the use of, antacids over time increases your risk of heart disease, increases your risk of cancer, et cetera, et cetera.
And so, they're a patch. I mean, there's that. I mean, those are the much more serious effects of that, but they're a temporary solution at best.
And for a lot of people, not even that.
And I think Kathleen was looking for specific alternatives to that. And then you're saying you have to look at what may be particular to you.
That's
right?
Exactly right. I mean, well, the question is, do you want to solve the problem or do you just want to poke around? I'm no nonsense. Let's solve it. I mean, let's make it history, right? Treat the root cause. Now, there are some partial potentials that you can try. And we've talked about this many times. Eliminate wheat, corn, soy, and all concentrated sweeteners from your diet. Right? And then start with that and see if you start to feel some difference. But then there's the issue of restoring the normal function to your gut. That has been degenerated over time. Right? We've got to restore the body's capacity to make the essential hydrochloric acid for the digestive process. And that's not going to happen simply by eliminating foods. So that falls to other tools such as a standard process of Zypan, if there is that condition of too limited hydrochloric acid. But there might be some other digestive deficiencies that are present. So, to be honest, to say just take this and this is a non, medication or either over-the-counter or prescription, it just basically continues to feed into the magic bullet idea. There's no magic bullet. But I can say this. Stop eating sugar. Stop eating processed foods. Give up the wheat, the corn, and the soy. And for those people who, want to start the process, that's where you'd start. But if you really want an answer, a final answer, solution to it, then you've got to take responsibility for evaluating and finding out your unique circumstances. I mean, my gosh, you're a unique human being. Just ask any American if they're not an individual. I mean, they tout that all the time, except a lot of people don't want to take responsibility for that individuality and just want to, sort of do what they want to do when they want to do it. And, of course, that's a child's modus operandi.
503-225-0860 to speak directly to Paul Rosen this morning on Health Matters. 503-225-0860.
So let's go back to Dennis. We started Dennis just before the Health Master episode where he realized that as a diabetic that he had to eliminate all grains and fruit and sugar. And he did take ownership, as he said himself. And within 1 week, he began to experience improvements that he hadn't seen over the past 4 or 5 years. Let's listen to Dennis.
Let me ask you this, Dennis. I mean, was the evaluation, the nutrition response testing evaluation, was that painful?
Oh, no. No, it's, in fact, you're wondering what's going on. Trust me, there's nothing, there are no machines, there's no x-rays, there's no, nothing invasive. There is, you wonder exactly what's going on when you're having us, you're basically just resisting. And then you're able to touch different parts of the body, kind of like an acupuncture person would touch, and then be able to evaluate. And Am I way off when I called it a little bit of Chinese reflexology?
No, actually, there is a lot of Oriental medicine in it. We call it nutrition response testing. It is rooted in something called kinesiology or muscle testing. But yeah, absolutely. The areas, the points that we're touching are in Western parlance, reflexes. From my particular perspective, I refer to them as acupuncture. Points or areas, if you will, and by utilizing the body's own autonomic nervous system, we're able to find out its status.
And I'll tell you, and another thing, I mean, I've had a certain amount of exposure to certain alternative medicines, just in dealing with my child with autism.
Right.
The thing that impressed me about you, because I retain my own, and I'll just be straight up, my own Western, I don't want to call it prejudice, but there's a reluctance to just say, the guru-esque effect of many alternative medicines. You look at it and just go, oh, right. The fact that you were once an attorney, seriously, your background.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's out. It's out. My history's out.
is very refreshing, and I hope I'm not insulting anybody who has that. I'm actually accusing myself of saying, yes, I have. I'm reluctant to just wink and nod at every bag of some sort of Indian flower or whatever that is going to make you all better.
Yeah, I mean various types of approaches, and I mean the bottom line, Dennis. I think one of the things that we had some affinity for was, I mean, no one was a bigger skeptic of this work than I was.
Exactly.
No one. with my background, and anybody who is actually
and your book goes into that, and that is that's very refreshing. And
was that helpful?
Yes, absolutely.
The book was helpful to you. Good. And so let me ask you. So you immediately you saw some reaction, and you're sticking with your program. You're doing your program, and you're doing your diet. You're getting the results, right?
Right.
So, I mean, what would you recommend to anybody out there if they were interested in taking control of their health?
Well, the most important thing is to ask, first of all, is it working? And it's not just, pragmatic and all that, but let's get down to it. I mean, if you're in a rut, if that's all you're doing, is that all you want? I mean, those are important questions to ask.
Right, right. Especially, you're referring to what you were doing before you actually came to the test. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Or do you want a light at the end of the tunnel? And do you really believe that you can get better?
Yeah.
I've seen people going into your office who are, literally on, walkers and canes and all that. I mean, you have people come in with expectations. Because there's anything miraculous, but because it's almost as though the body requires nutrition to get better, and our current system does not provide nutrition.
Ouch! Oh, my God. Wait. Revelation. We're talking newsflash here. The body requires proper nutrition in order to function properly. Holy moly. What a concept.
Look at that in your book.
Hey, maybe we ought to write a book about that. What do you think? Hey, Dennis, thank you so much for calling and sharing, your experience. I really, really appreciate it. It's very difficult to get people out there to kind of reach out a little bit for a lot of the reasons you mentioned.
Thank you so much, Paul. Your enthusiasm. You're not just somebody who takes ownership of this area of education and nutrition. You are your approach is very warm. I feel like you care about whether or not I'm getting better, and that is very encouraging. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're totally welcome, and I do. And thank you so much for calling, Dennis.
I think that story, more than anything, Paul, is about taking responsibility and taking charge. Which
yeah,
is part
I mean,
of your thing.
I just. In terms of the heart, let me relate a story. I have never had high blood pressure in my life, nor have I had high cholesterol. And yet, after my automobile accident not that long ago,
I was undergoing a heart sound recording evaluation and discovered during that process that my cholesterol was up over 330 and high triglycerides and also high blood pressure. My blood pressure was 166 over 106. And that was just amazing to me. I don't take my blood pressure on a regular basis. I had no reason to because, you know, I've never had high blood pressure. I said, my gosh, where does that come from? I'm on a nutritional healing program. I'm following, you know, everything that I say. I mean, I'm not eating any grains, any fruit, any sugar for myself. Doesn't mean everybody has to do that. So where is that coming from? Well, when I got the evaluation using the heart sound recorder, I was able to see that there were certain specific nutritional deficiencies that were in one of the two, one or two of the supplements I was taking, but not in the sufficient quantities that were necessary. So I refined my program. I refined my program. And within 1 month, using nutrition only, using the nutrition response testing to identify my unique requirements and the heart sound recording with respect to identifying my unique requirements for my cardiovascular needs. And within 1 month, my blood pressure was down to 114 over 77.
I think that story of yours, Paul, very personal, addresses the fact that we also have to have some flexibility when we're planning our long-term dietary habits and doing things in a way that's best for our health. As we age, our needs change.
The other thing is, yes, our needs change, and events can create situations. Like this car accident. I mean, I was pretty beat up. I had definite external and internal injuries.
And by the way, anybody listening right now, Paul is fine. He has healed.
Oh, yeah.
He's 100% right now. He's never been better.
But my point is that there's really never a time when you can just say, oh, well, I'm doing this, and now I can just do this one thing, and regardless of you know, my life circumstances, regardless of how old I am, etc. You have to stay on top of it. It's not complicated. But things do change, and my patients learn this. I learned this once again, right, just recently. But I also, the reinforcement of the fact that nutrition is the key. What you put in your mouth is the key. And there is no need, for the most part, for most anybody, no need for medications or surgery.
Speaking of that, there are certain foods that are good for your heart. Here's the good news. Some of these foods are not only healthy, they're pretty darn good. Details on that soon. You're on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website at AccuNatural.com. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
It's not a myth. It's not magic. It's a program that is wonderful, and it works.
Get healthy. Stay healthy.
Your approach is very warm. I feel like you care about whether or not I'm getting better, and that is very encouraging.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
503-225-0860. Call that number now and speak to Paul Rosen about your health issue. 503-225-0860. Paul, here's something we have not done in a while.
Let's make Paul mad.
There we go. So I was looking up information about foods that may cause high blood pressure preparing for the show, and a website said pickles may cause high blood pressure. Bad news for all of us who like our pickles. What do you think of that? I think I'm getting the idea already. What do you think of that?
I mean, come on.
We need a webcam in the studio because when I throw things like that at you, I wish everybody could see the expression on your face.
Probably what they're referring to is the fact that pickles. Now, we're talking about organic, naturally fermented, not forced, not pressed, not in a laboratory. They're probably not saying, but referring to the salt that's often found in pickles.
Right, and they also indicated that canned soups, for example, may not be good for your blood pressure. Is that for the same reason, because they have salt?
Mm-hmm. And the thing is in my clinic, I've never seen salt to be the limiting factor with respect to helping people reduce their high blood pressure, getting off all of the medications, which happens in my office every week. You know, of course, I recommend sea salt, not the manufactured processed table salt. And yeah, so that's important. That's important to understand. If you're going to eat salt, sea salt is where you want to go, what you want to eat.
So I think there's some.
But I've never reduced the consumption of salt for any patient in my clinic, even when we're working on helping the body restore normal blood pressure. It's never been a problem. Never been a problem. That's the thing about myths, is, you know, or proclamations, nutritional proclamations based on, you know, air. Or I don't know what it's based on, honestly, is that, you know, if it doesn't reflect in the clinic, what good is it, right? It's not useful. So, yeah, I mean, eat your pickles. Pickles are fine food. Fermented food, but again, organic and naturally fermented.
Right. We always come back to the same thing, though, which is processed foods being bad for us because they're loaded with certain things like sugar, which are necessarily going to be unhealthy.
I could do this program for 2 hours and say that for 2 hours every single week and still need to say it again because people obviously, you know, obviously don't get it. You know, they don't get it. Just a little bit, they say. Well, can't I just have a little bit? I mean, isn't it just if I mostly change my diet and just once in a while have this and I go, well, let me see. No. Because, if you know that some food does have a deleterious effect on the body, why on earth would you even want to have it sometimes? To satisfy what? Remember, we started this whole program with the notion that human beings spend pretty much the last three quarters of their lives on the physical downslope, right? And who wants to preserve quality of life? I do, right? I want to have my quality of life today is light years ahead of where it was when I was 45 years old. Light years. In fact, I'm getting healthier and healthier. And the proof of that is when I recently went to my eye doctor because I was having some difficulty with the, you know, I wasn't seeing clear or whatnot. When I would take my glasses off, I was seeing clearer. And I thought, it's wild. So that was confirmed by my optometrist, who found that my prescription had improved over the last 2 years.
The prescription had improved your vision?
My vision was improved, and the prescription needed to be, I needed less dialed in, you know, optical whatever on the lens.
Now, that's going in the right direction, and I guess the point here is that your health is getting better overall, and so that's a symptom of that.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm almost, you know, I'm going to be 69 in January, and my eyes are getting better. They're improving. They're getting better. Do you get that?
I get it.
I mean, that's incredible, right? My blood pressure comes down in a month just using nutrition. How? All of you who are listening out there can experience these same kinds of results.
And by the way, you used the word deleterious a few moments ago, and we were referencing mythology earlier in the show.
Yeah.
That was very good, Paul. Deleterious happens to be the Greek god of the car lot.
Oh, my gosh. You set that up with him. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. No, I got my own rim shot. James provided the crickets, and deservedly so, as a matter of fact.
Self-congratulatory, but quite cute.
But the point here, above all, is that not only can you fix yourself up, build yourself back up from bad health as you age or whatever your circumstances happen to be, you can actually make yourself better.
I mean, it's really astonishing to me. It's not, you know, like, it's like, you know, I am the reflection of what I share with you folks out there. I am essentially manifesting the very improved quality of life that I know many of you out there would hope that you could experience. It's totally true. You do not have to follow the paths of the people to your left and the people to your family members, your friends, who refuse to take control of their health. You don't have to if you don't want to.
I also think it's probably rarely helpless. And tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, we can abuse ourselves over the course of years. Many of your patients do. It's never too late. Also, the flip side of that, if you're young and healthy, or you think you're healthy, now is the time to be developing those good habits.
You were sharing a story with me. You were saying that, what was it, Shaquille O'Neal? Is that who it was?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was one of the basketball players.
He was the NBA's leading scorer one time.
Underwent
quadruple bypass
surgery and and was told, and so now he believes, that it was just his arteries and, you know, his heart was in good shape. Well, I have this news, Kareem. There's no way that your arterial system could be broken down that badly and you have a perfectly good heart. It is not possible. Don't be deluded into thinking that's true. Now, can it be improved with nutrition? Absolutely.
He's also your age peer, I might add. I believe he's 67 years old, he's in the same range as you.
That condition is something he ate his way into. Absolutely, 100%. Ate his way into. And I don't want to hear it was genetically predetermined, because I spoke to that point in the first hour of the show. Everything is genetic. Everything. But food is a primary trigger, a turner oner, as it were, of genes. So that whole situation was absolutely created by him and him alone.
And I think he might concede that. I think anybody who's had that serious an operation, a quadruple bypass, will necessarily change their habits afterwards. But why wait for that?
Yeah,
why wait until you have the quadruple bypass?
Exactly right. I mean, it's like, you know, if your car is out of control, you know, grab the wheel before you hit the telephone pole. I mean, it's just that simple. Right? I am imploring you. I'm begging you for yourself. Right? Don't hit the telephone pole. There is a safe, natural, and effective approach that will make a difference in your life, a dramatic difference. You do have to step up to the plate. You do have to be willing to make the changes. Don't be, misled. Don't be demeaned or suppressed. There is hope. There is a solution. Right. All you have to do is be ready, willing, and able to make some, you know, simple lifestyle changes and take some supplements or herbs or whatnot that are determined by your body's needs, and you can have a significantly better health. Your health can improve as you age instead of degenerate.
And the last word on this topic, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who scored over 38,000 points during his NBA career, is 70 years old. So, Paul,
close.
He may have been the NBA's leading scorer, but you are the younger man.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website at AccuNatural, that's ACUNatural.com. Click on the radio show page, follow the directions, and enjoy. In the meantime, stay with us, Rod and I will be right back with more.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
If you're not getting any relief or not finding any forward momentum in your path to trying to get back to health, I would suggest you go and look into muscle response testing. Go see Paul.
It's a life-changing. You feel so much better. It's priceless.
Straight Talk About Health with your host, Paul Rosen.
Surprising foods that are good for your heart. Next on Health Matters. We'll get to that in just a second. 503-225-0860. We still have time for your call. We always do. 503-225-0860. Call, go on the air with Paul, discuss your health issue, get some answers, and also get a copy of one of Paul's books, The Missing Piece or The Great Health Heist.
Also want to remind folks to come join me for my next free health seminar. I'll be presenting Sugar Cravings, Eliminate Brain Fog, Fatigue, and Pain at Chuck's Produce in Cascade Park on Mill Plain Boulevard in Vancouver this coming Wednesday, August 23rd at 6:30 p.m. Parking is free. Seating is limited. So we ask that you please RSVP. Call my office and save yourself a seat. 360-750-7375.
360-750-7375. Foods that are good for your heart, Paul. Why are some of these surprising?
Meat.
That's meat. Surprising. I would say
pasture raised. If you can, soy free, grain free, certainly GMO free. Antibiotics or hormones or whatnot.
So here's perhaps the surprising part of this, Paul. We've all bought into the idea that eating too much steak, certainly too many burgers, whatever it happens to be, that's meat-based, is going to be bad for our hearts.
Well, you say too many. What's too many? Well, everybody's a little bit different, once again. But, you know, if you're eating a couple of ounces, 2 or 3 ounces at a time, you're not sitting down and eating a great porterhouse. That's too much.
Well, I'm eating the porterhouse, so yeah. Maybe I should.
Well, you can eat it over time. Eat a little bit, take it home, eat a little bit. And also fish. Fish is a wonderful heart food. And then we're also talking about other types of foods. Eggs, a wonderful food for the heart. Eggs.
That's another one that I think we would have assumed was the opposite.
Again, pasture-raised eggs. Fortunately, there's plenty available around our area. There's lots of farms. There's lots of farmers markets. There's even the markets themselves and Chuck's and New Seasons and Whole Foods. And I don't know if Trader Joe's has pasture raised. They may now these days, but I don't.
I think I know the answer to this, Paul, but should we just stick to the egg whites?
No, absolutely not. Stick to the egg whites and not get the vitamins, which are contained in the yolks? No.
So go ahead and enjoy.
Cholesterol's not an issue. Cholesterol has never and never will cause cardiovascular disease. So Brussels sprouts, the vegetable kingdoms, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, broccoli, asparagus, garlic, onions. These are all really great heart-healthy foods. And for those who can utilize them, legumes like lentils, some beans, usually black beans, the white beans and garbanzo beans and pinto beans are not the greatest for most folks. And wheat germ, defatted wheat germ are really good. Rice polishings.
No, defatted wheat germ just doesn't sound that good, Paul. Is that usually served by itself, like a patty or something, or do you get it in a...
No, it's something you'd put on a salad or something like that. But you have to find, you have to have a great source, and because a lot of wheat germ is rancid already.
Well, does it have any kind of flavor to it?
Kind of a nutty-like flavor.
And it's not artificial, right? That's the natural flavor of the wheat
germ. Where the vitamin E is in the grains. It's in the germ surrounding the carbohydrate. Yeah.
I can see somebody coming up with something like, you know, orange wheat germ, lemon wheat germ.
Rice polishings are another.
Rice polishings?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does that mean exactly? I'm not sure what a rice polishing
is. It's the stuff they take off the white rice. They take off the rice to make it white.
Does it look like rice?
It looks like... No. No, it looks like the shell. It looks like very thin shell membrane around the rice kernel.
And you could eat these, what is a side or something like that?
Again, like you could sprinkle it on salads or put it in some soup or. Mm-hmm.
Rice polishing sounds like it could be a matinee idol too.
Barley water is also really good too. Barley water is very good for. The heart and the cardiovascular system. Soybean lecithin. Now, for you folks out there, I know
And you're going to go, well, wait a minute. I thought Mr. Rosen was totally against soy. And I am. Soybean lecithin is what can be extracted from the soybean, done in a cold process way. Standard process makes an extremely high quality soybean lecithin. That's one of the products I added to reduce my blood pressure.
And is that, again, like a garnish?
It's an emulsifier.
Okay.
It comes in a pearl, you know, we call it a pearl. It's not a capsule, but it's similar.
So it's supplementing, is that right?
In that case. All right. Soybean lecithin.
And could it also be used as a food stuff? I mean, could you get that stuff and sprinkle it on a salad, for example?
No.
No. So you...
I mean, you could, but I don't know why you'd want to.
And some of these things, then, I guess what I'm trying to clarify, Paul, some, such as the soybean thing, they're supplements.
That's a supplement.
Others are actually foodstuffs.
Yes.
Like the rice polishings.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Surprising foods that are good for your heart. The meat was the big surprise for me.
Eggs, too.
And eggs.
Should be a surprise.
Also, what others do we have?
My gosh, I went through a whole list. What else
you
want?
You sure did.
You don't even remember the list I went through.
I want a good, healthy heart. Well, that's why I was repeating the names, you noticed.
And then, of course, you have to eliminate the concentrated sweeteners. Absolutely a must. You cannot eat all these good foods and eat concentrated sweeteners and expect, especially if you have a familial genetic disposition for heart disease, you cannot eat sugar and concentrated sweeteners, including fruit juices, right? And then eat these things that I listed, the eggs, the meat, the sprouts, the legumes, the asparagus, garlic, onion, etc., and expect to get nothing else other than some form of heart disease.
So I'm guessing if I have, let's say, a small steak, an 8-ounce steak, maybe a couple of eggs with the yolks and the whites, I also have some rice polishings, and I supplement that with some soybean lecithin, and then I have a lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
Not doing myself a lot of good, right?
No.
Okay.
You
all
just
right.
pretty much erased much of the improvements that the other foods would provide you.
So beware, folks. Those of you who think you can do a bunch of good things and then one really bad thing, maybe not so much, right?
Not so much.
Paul Rosen, that was an excellent show this week. We learned a lot about how to make our hearts healthy. What's happening on this program next week?
Well, next week, diets. The scientists can't agree, neither can the professionals. So how can you know with the highest degree of certainty that what you're eating is right for you? And exercise is part of a healthy life, but can you go too far? Plus, 7 of the most nutrient-dense foods you can eat all this week. Remember, I've got a seminar coming up Wednesday, August 23rd, 6:30, Cascade Park. Chucks, be there, sugar, how to get over the sugar cravings, and you ate your way there, and you can eat your way out, folks. Remember to keep yours fresh.